Welcome, listeners, to the Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon, the podcast that highlights cozy and traditional mysteries. You won't find stories filled with explicit sex or graphic violence. You will find interviews with authors who create crime fiction filled with intriguing plots, engaging characters, and high-quality writing. Thanks for listening. Hello, listeners, and welcome to another episode of The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. I'm Alexia Gordon, author and host of the podcast. My guest today is Sheila Hudson. Sheila joins me in the corner to chat about Hearst Hijinks, the first Crimes from the Crypt mystery. Welcome, Sheila.
Well, thank you, Alexia. Glad to be here.
Now, as I mentioned, Hearst Hijinks is the first of your Crimes from the Crypt mysteries. So would you please tell us about your protagonist, Nadia, and what she's up to in the story?
Yes. Nadia is coming out of a bad marriage, and she decides to move back south to a little town called Alto. And it's in northeast Georgia, not far from Athens, Georgia, where I live. And she is needed in the family business. Her father has died, and her brother has taken over the family business, which is Carlton Manor, the only funeral home in town. And so she moves back, and she doesn't exactly know where she fits in or what she's going to do. But a series of things happen, and that's where Hearst Hijinks comes in, where the hearse gets stolen, and they live close to a women's penitentiary, and there's a murder, and all kinds of things go on.
Now, operating a funeral home is kind of an unusual family business for a cozy mystery. So what led you to choose that as an occupation for your protagonist?
I've written several series, and the first one was the Thursday Club, about a lot of women and things I get into. And I wrote a series about twins called Silent Partners. And then I wrote a series about ministry called Ministry Can Be Murder. My husband is a campus minister. He's retired. And he's also been a public pulpit minister. And so I knew a lot about that. I was trying to think of something different. When you scan cozies, you get a lot of bakery shops and pet stores and knitting and detectives and stuff like that. So I wanted something really, really different. So I went with a funeral home, thinking that it would be interesting, since you're going to have murders and you're going to have detectives and you're going to have police and all that. So I thought it would be interesting to kind of go at it from that point of view.
Now, death in funeral homes is kind of a somber theme. So with a protagonist who's in the business of death, how do you keep your cozies from becoming dark?
Well, Nadia, as all good protagonists are in cozies, has a sidekick, Sadie, and she is always getting into trouble and putting her nose in where she's not supposed to, and so she provides a lot of entertainment. Also, there's a dog, Daisy, and she provides some interest as well to dog lovers and that sort of thing. And there's some love interest that we pursue a little bit. One of the police detectives is interested in Nadia, but the main one is her mother, who is hilarious, and you can never tell what she's going to do because she moved two or three times. She's gotten involved with this guy who looks like he's a gold digger, and she moved away, and then she's moved back. So I try to approach it from different angles so that we get some entertainment and not just funeral drab stuff.
Did you find it difficult to blend humor with a funeral home?
No, not really, because I don't go into a lot of the details. I mean, people die and they take care of them, but I think if you talk to people who are really in that business, they play jokes and they try to keep things light because of the theme of what they're doing. They try to not make light of the client or the family, but just try to keep things light when they're working on themselves, when they're working on the body, and when they're hosting the family and trying to help the family get through this grieving process. I don't really go into that side of it very much. It's a very small town, so there's a lot of gossip and there's a lot of funny things that go on in the town. So I kind of lean toward that more.
You know, you're in Georgia yourself. Is that what inspired you to choose Georgia as a setting for your story?
Yes, all of my books really are set in the Northeast Georgia, Middle Georgia area, Atlanta area. I think the Southerners have slangs and funny sayings and things we can draw on that are hilarious. And I was born and raised in the South, and when I moved north for 10 years, I realized how different things are as far as the way you're raised and how you're brought up and all that. So yeah, all my books are set in the Georgia area.
And your town of Alto, is that a real town or is that one that you created?
No, it's a real town. My cousin lives there, and it's very small, and you have to go to the next town to really eat out or do anything, go to church or most anything. But I just picked it because it was a name that stood out. It's small, and I figured a town that size would only have one funeral home, and so I wanted it to be that way so that pretty much everybody in the town would be coming through our doors at one time or another.
Now, do people in the real town of Alto comment on the book?
I haven't had anybody comment on it yet. They haven't been out that long. Hearst Hijinks came out in late 2020, and Kerfuffle in the Crematorium, which is the second one, hasn't been out that long, maybe 6 months. That's where the crematorium blows up. So there is a kerfuffle, and I'm working on the third one now called Grave Consequences.
Now, using a real town, were you concerned about maybe getting businesses in the wrong place, or perhaps real businesses being less than happy to have a murder associated with them, or was that not even a concern?
No, it really wasn't a concern. I mean, I kind of make up the restaurants and the coffee shops, and I do have Nadia and the detective go out of town to Helen, Georgia, and I use real names and real places for that. And I always have a Georgia directory with me so I can get it straight and get the menus right and all that sort of thing. So I try to be realistic on the things I think are important. The other things I just kind of make up as I go. Seat of the pants.
Now, you published Hearst Hijinks independently. So, what went into the decision to become an independent author?
Originally, I used to write inspirational and Christian religious type stuff, and I really got into fiction when I entered a contest, and I had a friend who runs this independent publishing company called Winged Publications, and she had sent me some stuff to put in our Writers Association on our freebie table. And so I said, "Cynthia, will you look at this and see if I'm on the right track? Because I want to enter this contest for fiction, and I'm not sure I know what I'm doing." And she sent it back and said, "I love it. Send me three more, and I'll publish them." So I kind of fell into it, and so I'm still with her. This is my 19th novel with her, I think. So we've been good friends for a long time.
It's always good when you have a long-term relationship with your publisher.
Yes. And she's excellent. She does my cover work. Sometimes my husband does cover work. He's retired, and so he does the photography at times, but most of the time Cynthia does it, and we get along really well. I try to obey what she says and cause her as little grief as possible.
Now, you mentioned them briefly. You have a couple of other books in the Crimes from the Crypt series. Would you tell us about those briefly?
Yes, as I said, the Hearst Hijinks is the first one, and the cover shows, if well, I think I sent you the cover, shows the coffin falling out of the hearse, and so it kind of tells you what's going to happen, something crazy. And that's not the only thing. Other things happen that have to do with the hearse. The second one is Kerfuffle in the Crematorium, and as I said, the crematorium was an addition that they decided to do because there wasn't one in town, and if the clients wanted that for their loved one, they had to go somewhere else. So their mother furnished the money to and she furnished the money to put the crematorium in, but before they could really use it, someone snuck in some bodies that had been frozen, and when you put a frozen body in a crematorium and put the heat up, it explodes. So that's the gist of that story. And of course, they have to find out who the people were that were frozen and murdered and frozen, and who put them in the crematorium and blow it up. And then there was all the rebuilding and the detective work to go with that. Grave Consequences is kind of a follow-up to that, where Nadia decides that working there is not fulfilling enough, and she wants to go back to column writing, which is what she did when she was married and in another state. And so Grave Consequences was the name of it, and she has a pen name because she doesn't want anybody to know who she is, and the paper is in another state, so she's hoping that she can get by with writing these stories about working the behind the scenes in the funeral home without anybody finding out who she is. So that's going to be the taunt there.
Now, what kind of research did you do to find out that frozen bodies explode in crematoriums?
Well, I subscribe to this. What is his name? His first name is Lee. It's Murder Con, the one that puts on Murder Con, and he is a good resource for things like that. And of course, I have a lot of books and resources on forensics, but I guess just the web and just word of mouth and reading. I don't really know anybody that runs a nursing, I mean a funeral home now, but that's a good question. I don't go, well, I don't do police procedurals where you go into the real details, you know, but you put two bodies at about 300 pounds into the furnace, and it's absolutely frozen, and it's going to blow up. So there's a woman online who I wish I looked her up. Her name is Caitlin Dougherty, and she's a good resource too about different ways, because she is a big proponent of natural death and not doing any embalming or anything like that. So I got a lot of information from her too. I think her name is just CaitlinDougherty.com. But anyway, you can find her.
So you haven't gone like undercover at a funeral home yourself or anything to do any investigating, have you?
No, I had a friend that worked in one time, but I'm out of touch with him. No, I haven't done that. I did try to get in touch with a funeral home, and they thought I wanted to plan my funeral. So, and when I told them what I wanted, they thought I was really odd, and they didn't call me back. But maybe sooner or later I'll get into one and see what it's like, more or less.
So what's next for you after you finish the third crypt mystery?
You know, I'm not sure. I did write one book called Bright Ideas to Make Your Writing Sparkle. And I have a friend who runs a bookshop in Monroe, Georgia, which is about 30 miles from here. And she's carried a lot of my books in the Southern Penn Bookshop. And that book has done really, really well. So I may do something else on the craft of writing or the business of writing or something along those lines. I'm not really good at business. My husband does that for me. But anyway, maybe writing a cozy. I've done some podcasts for her, and the next podcast is going to be So You Want to Write a Cozy. So I'm doing some of those.
And do you find that you have to take a vastly different approach to writing nonfiction or craft books compared to the fictional mysteries that you write?
Yeah, definitely that. But that's why I haven't really decided because it has to be something that I really feel is needed because there's so many writing books out there and nobody heard of me. It's not like Stephen King on Craft of Writing or something. But I think cozies, for one thing, well, you know, first thing you have to do is ask the person, do they know what a cozy is? And I'd say, like, I don't know, 3 out of 10 might know what a cozy mystery is, and then you explain what it is, and then they want to know, well, what do you write? What kind of cozies do you write? So I think maybe something on writing cozies might be my next book. I don't know. I'm gonna give myself a break after this next one. By that time, it'll be holiday time, so it's a good time to break. So, I'm not sure. Maybe another cozy sequel. Maybe Thursday Club Returns.
And how about the inspirational books? Those, I mean, those are also nonfiction. You find that that's very different than writing a craft book that's nonfiction?
Yes, definitely. I wrote 13 decisions that would change your life and 13 decisions that will transcend your marriage. And those were very different. That was with a different publishing company. Those first things I published. And those were really hard because I was pulling from memories, and not all those were good memories. They were things I learned through mistakes and pain and experiences you go through that are not always positive, but you learn something from them. There's definitely different writing style. So they take longer to write because, like I said, it's painful to go through. When I talk about my daughter's divorce or illnesses we've been through and things that I consider betrayals, that sort of thing. Those are hard to write about. Forgiveness, really hard to write about.
So, does writing the cozy mysteries sort of give you some relief from writing about the harder subjects?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of fun writing about them. And I have a lot of writer friends. I've been a member of Southeastern Writers Association for, gosh, about 28 years. And I've made a lot of friends. And some of my friends write mysteries or humor books or something. And so we swap chapters and we have fun killing off people we don't like or, you know, just having fun with your characters. And when I leave my characters, and go to build another character set, I'm always sad. And that's why I said I might go back to the Thursday Club because those first five women, those first five characters that I wrote about were all different ages. And that's still got to be my favorite series, even though it's probably not my best series. I don't know. But I love my characters so much.
Well, it sounds like your new series is on its way to going well. Where can readers buy a copy of Hearst Hijinks?
All my books can be found on Amazon.com, of course, and also at the Southern Penn Bookshop in Monroe, Georgia. But I doubt any of your readers. I don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe they'd be close enough. But because Southern Penn Bookshop is online too. But either of those places, or you can ask me. I've got copies. And I have a website, SheilaSHudson.com. So any of those.
And Monroe, Georgia is near Atlanta or Augusta or?
It's about 30 miles from Athens, and it's probably about, I don't know, 50 or 60 miles from Atlanta. It's kind of one of those little suburb towns.
Okay, so that's close enough to make a trip to an independent bookstore.
Yeah, yeah. And she's really good because she only publishes independent authors. So, you know, she really does this well, and she even gives awards and things like that, because a lot of times independent authors are self-published authors, either one, are overlooked by the big four or big five, whatever it is now. So she does really well. Her name is Vicki Bly, and we really appreciate her in the area.
And now you mentioned your website. Where else can readers connect with you? Are you on social media, like Facebook or Twitter or Instagram?
I'm on Facebook and Twitter, yes. So it's Sheila Hudson or Sheila S. Hudson, either one. So.
Okay, well, thank you very much for joining me in the corner today, Sheila.
Oh, thank you. And I hope we can meet in person one day.
Yes, I hope so too.
I'm sure you keep busy.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to another episode of The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. My guest today was Sheila Hudson, author of Hearst Hijinks, the first Crimes from the Crypt mystery. I'm Alexia Gordon, your host. Until next time, goodbye.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to another episode of The Cozy Corner with Alexia Gordon. If you enjoyed the show, please leave a 5-star rating or review. Help me keep bringing you fun and informative chats with authors of cozy and traditional mysteries by supporting the podcast on Patreon at www.patreon.com/authoralexiagordon. Until next time, goodbye. Thank you.